Episode number 315.
I love online entrepreneurs in general, but my favorite are service providers. So coaches, consultants, even agency owners and people like that. So yeah, any service that they have to provide, it's really easy for me to scale because I have so much experience with that. I know how to build teams around it. I know how to run ads properly, like the whole full stack, organic and paid marketing. So my biggest, you know, most amazing result comes from people like that.
Welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Hot, where we talk about life, dreams, social media, and business.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Hot. Folks, I'm fired up today, as I am almost every day, because not only do I know I'm living the dream, I'm living a dream like you could be living as well, because I'm bringing you a business owner, a person that is doing this on a big scale. He's helping you understand and how you can build businesses that you love, that grow seven figures, guys, and make lots of profits. I'm bringing you Mr. Raphael Ellison. Raphael, are you ready to be real?
Oh yeah, Travis, I'm so excited. Great to be here.
Absolutely, my man. He is all the way from Oslo, Norway. Beautiful, incredible photos of seeing that countryside. And he has working as a janitor, guys. He started as a janitor. He started, like myself, car wash. I worked in the car wash business, scrubbing those rims and getting people, you know, making the little tips in here, learning business, and then helping to build multiple seven-figure businesses from scratch. Raphael has helped build a brand as a motivational speaker early in his 20s, quickly reaching, guys, over 30 million people with his speeches and content, tons of great content online, guys, and basically helping people build bootstrap businesses, which are my very favorite type of business because everyone can do it today. And there's no excuse when you have a bootstrap type of business. And I always say, Raphael, the best businesses happen when you just listen. You're just listening to those customers. And then all of a sudden you just say, hey, I think I can do that. Let me put a PowerPoint together. That costs no money. And let me go talk to someone and get a check. That costs no money. And then boom, we got real-time outsource, 11 years in business, guys, literally off of a PowerPoint bootstrap model. So Raphael, tell us a little bit about your story, man. I mean, because you literally went from, like I said, the janitor, if you want to call it rags to riches, sometimes people call it that. But you went from a business where, you know, or a job where you're grinding, you're putting in work for a nominal wage, which a lot of people are doing right now. In fact, a lot of us still do that if you're entrepreneurs and you look at how many hours you're working in your business for what you're getting paid. But, it's a story, right? So tell us a little bit about where that came from when you're working as a janitor. Did you always want to be an entrepreneur?
Honestly, I was obese. I had severe social anxiety. I was depressed. Wow. I was playing video games in every spare hour. I mean, I grew up in my childhood too. I had a lot of anxiety really in my teens. So that kind of all transferred into it. And my life overall was pretty miserable. And I was in apathy. I had kind of resigned and given up. I tried to apply to every job in my town and I got not even turned down. I just never got a call back. They just ignored me basically. So that was, gut-wrenching to say the least. And what's funny is I actually remember when I was already doing six figures in my business, I think it was about a year after that, I got a call from a kindergarten or like a preschool, I guess, that I applied to work at. Wow. And they were saying, hey, we have an open position. And that was a moment where, so I started with nothing. I mean, I was cleaning toilets. It was at first embarrassing, but later I felt pride because I figured that, this is the stepping stone. This is what's allowing me to buy some camera equipment, to start paying for some coaching and mentoring and consulting and programs. And that's where I learned, oh, here's how you build an actual business. Here's how you get customers. Here's how you market online. And this all started back in 2014. Before you know it, I was, breaking my game disc and throwing my controller and saying enough is enough. I started making videos every day. The first 6 months, nothing happened. The 6 months after that, six figures. So went from basically doing what I didn't enjoy and my life being absolute opposite of what I always wanted to, living my dream. I didn't even know that it existed, honestly. I didn't know coaching was even a field when I started making videos. So it's been a crazy journey.
So where was some of your first videos? What were you talking about? When you first got the idea, obviously anyone has a camera now, guys, you guys all could have started a YouTube channel. What did you want to tackle?
I just talked about the lesson that I learned that day. So sometimes it would be, you know, the video titles would be really bad. They'd be like, keep your promises or don't get distracted. You know, they weren't like well positioned. They weren't SEO optimized for the first 6 months. It was just me, you know, a lot of time in my bathroom or like, you know, in the school that I'd be cleaning, I'd just set it up outside or something and talk real quick for 10 minutes and capture my thoughts. But about 6 months in, I started learning, oh, well, if you brand and position a little bit and you solve real problems that people have instead of just rambling nonsense, then people might want to, you know, come talk to you and get help. And at the same time, I was getting a few coaching clients for free, just helping people out. And right around that time, actually, the first video I made with a DSLR, where I invested in the proper camera, we made a real thumbnail instead of just some basic screenshot of the video. You know, we really thought about the topic that we were making. We researched in self-improvement forums back then. Now there's Facebook groups and lots of better places.
Right.
But we just found out, oh, there's a demand for this topic. And on that video that got released, a client said, hey, would you make a video about this? This is really cool. A potential client. And I said, yeah, sure. So I made that video. And the next day he said, hey, could we talk? Maybe we could work together. And that's when, you know, light went off that, hey, I can drive demand for my service by providing this free value. So it all just catapulted from there. And that was my first sale for $160. Wow. Since then, I've had clients pay me $30,000 for a month of coaching together. And yeah, that first $160 was still the best money I've ever made in my life because it changed my mind completely.
It made you realize the possibility, right? Yeah. It made you realize like, if I keep doing this, it's validating, guys. And that is what the little bit of success it takes, guys, to build a great business. And many times, it's not just, oh, I had this grandiose idea and it's all going to be, you know, making 30 grand a month as a monthly coach, you know, and I'm going to be doing all this great things. And then you never even get a customer. It's, you got to go get a customer. You got to get a check. I always say, I tell the kids when I was when we were speaking to the kids at school, when they were at school, I tell them, hey, you know what? You don't have a business unless you can't, if you don't have a check or get some cash or get a Cash App or Venmo or PayPal or wherever you get your money, you don't, haven't got a business until you get that first check. And then it's a repeat and rinse, you know, repeat and rinse, guys. You got to get more checks. And then you got a little bit bigger business, you know, but a lot of times people are afraid to even to get that first check. And they forget that without a check, guys, you don't have a business. So that was just a validating success. The 160, was there a certain type of video topic that you were talking about that on that video?
I think it was actually something about focus and concentration, just increasing your ability to do meaningful work. Something in that direction. I don't remember the exact video. To be honest, I've made over 800. So no wonder.
Wow. Yeah. So he's putting tons of content out, guys, on his channels. How do you now? Because obviously after 800 videos, you've gotten a ton better. You've had success. You can reinvest. You can put into better quality, better, you know, content, editors, etc. But now how do you tackle content? What are you doing now to tackle your content stream of your future videos?
Oh, I'm so lazy. Honestly, it's great, but in a good way, in a very productive way. I make really about one piece of main content, like pillar content a week.
Gotcha.
And then we just distribute and it goes everywhere. So it's really 30 minutes to an hour for me per week, and it brings in hundreds of potential clients. Now we have a team. So, you know, we get all our design done and a lot of it is outsourced as well.
Right.
So it's very leveraged work where before I was just grinding out one video every single day, you know, for a whole year. I got to make the daily video. That was the commitment. Don't get me wrong. That's a great way to start because you get good fast. You practice your skill, you sharpen your axe. Now I spend most of my time with my actual clients and serving them and getting them results. Right. But in the beginning, the marketing was, yeah, it was clutch because without it, you get no momentum, no demand. You need to drive demand.
And you got to get better. That's the bottom line after doing like literally over 300 shows now, I know, and on all different podcast formats. And this is not my full-time gig. So, I mean, I could be doing thousands. There's people that are doing thousands of podcasts because they're batching interviews all day long. But I've done 300 shows with a lot of very successful people and entrepreneurs of all different success, like yourself, you know, have built incredible businesses for themselves. And at the end of the day, it's always the same thing. I started by grinding. And then eventually over time, you realize, okay, I can take some of this stuff off my plate. I can do this. I can pay this person to do this editing for me. I can pay this person, you know, to do these things and then focus my time now, obviously, and the people that are paying me to get results for them and to grow. And obviously there's going to be challenges along that because we went through a pandemic and, you know, tons of different crazy things. So that leads me into my next question, my man, is What are the kinds of things that you, or dream customers do you like working with? Who do you really find the most alignment with building the biggest value for?
I love online entrepreneurs in general, but my favorite are service providers. So coaches, consultants, even agency owners and people like that. So yeah, any service that they have to provide, it's really easy for me to scale because I have so much experience with that. I know how to build teams around it. I know how to run ads properly, like the whole full stack, organic and paid marketing. So my biggest, you know, most amazing result comes from people like that. Always.
Service providers. And that fits right along with our show, guys, as most of us are service providers. And what is the one of the some of the big challenges or things that they're trying to tackle right now? What are the things that they're coming to you and saying, Rafael, I need help, man. I need help.
Yeah, I think the biggest burning problem that is reoccurring for all of them when they come to me in the beginning, especially, is client and customer acquisition for their own business, right? That's usually the biggest pain point because without revenue, it's very difficult to expand and hire team members and run more ads because, you know, you have a few thousand dollars in your account, you're going to be questioning every cent of that Facebook ad, right? You're scared. But if you have a lot of revenue, then you're going to be comfortable. So one of the first things we do is really viral organic marketing. Like the first time I got a taste of this, I did a collaboration with a motivational channel. And I was in the self-improvement space originally, obviously. So the collaboration was a speech from me just yelling about how if you want more in life, you need to deserve more. And, you know, we sent that speech off, paid him $100, which is ridiculous. And he had a channel of 10,000 subscribers and the video ended up getting 500,000 views. Wow. So moves like that can fill your client list for a whole year. That for me, that was a six-figure $100 investment returned. It's the craziest ad spend, wow, you know, return I've ever seen in my entire career.
And that was organic. That was a viral strategy. That was just a viral strategy. Yeah.
So we do different versions of that. Sometimes it's a Reddit post. Sometimes it's a Facebook group. Sometimes it's, you know, sponsoring a post, and that can fill your pipeline for, you know, months. And then from that, now we can start scaling with ads, creating a predictable cost per acquisition, right, you know, really building systems and team, et cetera. So yeah, it helps just create a lot of, you know, quick cash flow.
So smart, dude. And like you said too, you weren't going to a channel that had 10 million subscribers. You said 10,000, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
10,000. So it's very attainable for people, right?
Anybody could do that. You just have to know that, oh, okay, their view velocity is good. You have to know how to analyze. What's their audience like? What's the content that's resonating with the audience? How can I position myself as like the best content that they've posted in a long time so that it explodes in the algorithm, gets higher watch time than regularly? And okay, let's design the thumbnail well for this. If it's YouTube, if it's a podcast, right? It just depends where you want your traffic from and who your target audience is.
And if you were to do that, guys, because you're giving people a great strategy, an unbelievable strategy to get your content further, or obviously collaborating with people that have popular channels or content related channels that you can synergize with, but then you're going to pay them, right? There's going to be a transactions there. So my question to you is then, how do you get that step process going? Is it just an email, a cold email saying, hey, dude, I'm Rafael. I got this fire video that I want to bring on your channel and it's going to spice things up for you and it's going to bring you more value?
Correct. It has to be a well-crafted email. So we've spent so much time really understanding what gets high open rates. Mm. What do they actually respond to? What do they want to see in the headline? What do they want to see in the preview? What do they want to see in the actual copy? How much should it be? At which point do they get overwhelmed and just, you know, decide to not follow up on it? Yeah. So how much follow-up should we do? Mastering that process takes time for sure. But, you know, starting off, it was just, hey, wanna get some money so you can drive me some traffic? Should work pretty good, right? That's a perfect place to start.
And it's still basically that. I mean, really, at the end of the day, guys.
Yeah, just an advanced, you know, prettied up version of it that converts at a higher rate. When you're scaling, obviously, you want to make sure that things are optimized. But in the beginning, who cares? If you get one reply out of 100, that's all you need.
That's all you need. It's like Gary Vee says, you got to just work on the DMs. You got to just spend time reaching out. I know one of my guys, Jay Fenton, Phantom, he had the Storybox podcast, was on his show. And I would be like, dude, how the hell are you getting these people on? Like, how in the hell are you getting Tony Robbins on your show? You do not have the numbers to validate having Tony Robbins on your show. And he just has that. He has that outreach process figured the hell out. He knows exactly what they're going to, you know, he's just figured out what these people are going to respond to when he cold emails them, and bottom line is he's just doing this on repeat, meaning he's sending them out to a ton of different types of people. It's not just like Tony Robbins was the first one he sent and he's like, Tony got him. You know, he probably sent it to many people. In fact, he told me, he said he sent it to Tony like 5 times. So you got to be persistent, in fact. And also if you want to get Tony Robbins on your show, and I know for myself, that's my weak point, is because I don't even spend any time doing that. I don't have the time, guys, to do that. I count on agencies and kind of some of these other networks to kind of bring me quality guests, as well as here and there I will reach out. But my time is full. I don't have time or the motivation to, Raphael, to, because I'm not booking this all day long, right? But if you were, guys, you can literally, like Raphael had figured out, reach out to someone, bring them some value, bring them some money. And boom, next thing you know, you have another chance to your brand for sure can explore and explode a lot more than just putting that in paid ads. That $100 would never get 500,000 views in paid ads on YouTube videos. You know what I mean?
You're absolutely right.
So that's the key thing, is that it's not just, you know, it's using this money strategically because you can do YouTube ads. They're very smart, but it ain't going to get you 150,000, you know, targeted impressions to the audience that you want. And so, although this has been a kind of a game that's already been played, if you want to call it influencer marketing, this is still relevant, guys. This is still very relevant. There's people building TikTok channels, they're building Clubhouse channels, there's new people trying to monetize everything. So for you, where do you see the business going and where do you see expanding, man? Where do you see the next level to your success, my brother?
Yeah, I mean, I run a lot of ads nowadays because it's predictable, it's right. Scalable. We have all the pixels installed. We can measure what's our cost per acquisition. Yes. You know, if we pay $1,000 to acquire a customer that's, you know, on average worth $6,000, that's a great ad spend. And you can just keep doing that. It scales. The problem with influencer marketing and this kind of approach is that, yeah, it's manual. But if you automate that, which we've done too, with having team members do the outreach, then that scales as well. So we're doing both right now and we're firing on all cylinders. But not only that, we also do, you know, outreach through groups and communities where people have a huge audience established in a niche already. And then we can leverage that on top of things too. So it's just all these traffic sources. And instead of, you know, constantly producing more content, which I do post a fair bit, we're mostly focusing on leveraging audiences that already exist and driving them to that offer that's proven to convert over and over and over again.
Yeah. Don't you know what they say, don't break what is working, guys. Or the simple marketing one was always KISS. It was keep it simple, stupid. And it was a silly strategy. I always remind that myself, you know, you overcomplicate things. That's when, or always think that you have to constantly change the offers and change the incentives and this and that. And it's like, dude, when you got something that's working, run those ads, baby. Keep them running. I've seen so many very successful ad campaigns converting years and years and years. And you can do little ad refreshes, obviously. But if it's been working, why would you change it? Like you said, if you're spending $1,000 to acquire and you're getting a $6,000 customer, that works. In most businesses. So I like that, man. So for you, just more ads, continue to put more fire, continue to put more, obviously getting on podcasts and shows like this, guys, to get your brand out there as well, Raphael. So then also for those online entrepreneurs, is there any types of spaces that they are in? Is it just all different types of spaces, products, services, but mostly services-based?
Yeah, most of mine are service-based entrepreneurs. So people who have some kind of service-based offer. Some people do products too, maybe on top in addition as extra revenue, but primarily focusing on the services to drive high revenue. And we also focus on leveraging the service. So having some type of group coaching offer or some type of leveraged offer. So you're not delivering one-on-one or having like this kind of snail delivery method where you can only reach a very low amount of people. And the impact is also worse because if we have a community and you can streamline and maybe even have a, you know, a program with login access and backend support and everything like that with accountability and systems, then obviously you can scale way more because instead of having 10 customers a month, you might be able to do 100, and that really helps.
And they still get the value too, because they get all the if you want to call it bells and whistles. And the bottom line is, I always remember that I was talking with a gentleman earlier about training. It's like, dude, the old training model was you literally sit down with someone for 2 hours or 2 days or 2 weeks and spend the whole damn time training this new person. And then who knows if this person leaves in 6 months to a year to 10 years. And with the new platforms, obviously, people have built, you know, their own training courses. And I told him I just literally did screen shared Zooms 5, 6, 7 years ago when Zoom first came out. I was just doing Zoom screen shares. Hey, this is how you do a Facebook post. You take a photo, you put it here. And I was just, hey, this is how you moderate a page. You know, when someone comments here, you know, if there's someone that says something negative, you can block them. You can hide them. Showing these tasks and then making them like real short videos, Raphael, where it was like 2 minutes. So it wasn't like a 3 hour video they had to watch. I found is a lot of them would just like, they'll rewatch it like multiple times so that they really learn it. And then it was always at scale for me. I like, whenever I have a new team member, I send them a link. I say, hey, go run through the Dropbox. When you're ready, let's take on a page. You get to work, you know? And it was just so much easier than me spending a week or two of my time with someone's and at the end of the day, benefit to them too, because they could be training at night. They could be, you know, working through this at night for a few hours instead of spending, like I said, 8 hours. The old training model was like all in. And as we're new, the new world is like, you're just doing a lot of different things. I think a lot of the new gig working economies have created people wanting to do multiple streams of revenue. And, you know, some entrepreneurs even do that because they want to, you know, keep themselves sharp on a topic. So they decide to do some gig work here to learn how to do gig work. It's very interesting. Before in history, Raphael, we would never even have this, as you know, even, you know, building your business, you never had this 20 years ago with the ability to do this stuff at scale. But now, my man, we're about to take you into our top 10. Are you ready?
I'm ready to go.
Apple or Android?
Android right now, but I could easily switch.
Oh, he's switching, folks. We got a Tim Cook's got to come up with a better phone. They got the flip phone coming soon. I think the Apple flip phone. It's going to be interesting. It's a flip and it has a screen. I have a flip phone. Netflix or YouTube?
YouTube.
Premium. YouTube. Always. YouTube Premium?
Yeah.
Ah, no ads. I love YouTube Premium. I was telling a guest about that. It's the simplest thing you could ever do for yourself because it's you never get interrupted to the content you want to watch. Instagram or Facebook?
Oh man, both, but Instagram, I guess.
IG, give your Instagram a shout out so we can follow you.
Yeah, it's just at Raphael Eliason.
Bam, we'll put that in the show notes, guys. Chicken or steak if you're thinking about a good meal?
Chicken right now.
Chicky, staying healthy, guys. I like that. Laptop or a smartphone?
Laptop, always.
Laptop. Too much you can get done on those things, baby. Spotify or Pandora?
Spotify.
Movies or video games?
You're asking an ex-video game addict. So there you go.
He's got to get away from those games. I put those things down, cut them up, chip them down. I always overframe myself from games and then reminding myself that like all these virtual coins and stuff. Now, maybe they do convert into real money nowadays. I don't even, things have changed, but I was always reminding myself, this shit ain't going to really get you anything when you go out in real life. So, but still it's fun for people out there. You know, I think, you know, you find your blend of happiness, but like I always say, everything in moderation, baby.
Don't escape.
Yeah, it's too hard. Some of those games are so addictive that it's very hard to put them down. When you're thinking about knowledge, reading books or listening to books?
Listening. 2x speed.
2x, baby. He's doing 2x. I remember my Tom Bilyeu had him on the show, episode 100 something, and he said, hey, you got to do Audible 3x. I said, Audible, what the hell is that? I didn't know about it. I just thought Audible 1x was the normal thing, and then come to realize you could do shit a lot of x's on there. But I like 1.5 to 2 depending on the guests, you know, the author's speed. But I was like, 3x, what the hell, Tom Bilyeu?
That's crazy. I don't know about that.
I read it. It's done. Stocks or real estate if you're thinking about investing?
Stocks and index funds for safety, but then yeah, individual stock picks over time.
Love that, dude. Index it for the retirement so you don't have to think about it. But then those and if you guys got a taxable account, the beauty of that is that this money can be realized. And I always like to try to hold it for a year if you can, because the taxes in America, it's a long-term capital gains is better for tax purposes. But if it goes up a lot in the short term, guys, that's realized gains that you can bring back to Papa and put it right back into your bank account, baby. Oceans or lakes if you're thinking about vacation?
I'm pretty close to the ocean, but I'm also very close to lakes. That's a tough one, but I'll take ocean.
Oceans. Do you have a favorite ocean?
No favorite. Just oceans.
You got them all. You got the best of all worlds out there. So when you're waking up in the morning, Raphael, and you're getting ready for your day, why do you love being you?
I get to do what I always wanted to do. And I didn't even know I could. I didn't know this was a career path. I didn't know that you could genuinely just talk to people and help them and solve problems like this and be a consultant. I thought that was some weird pipe dream, but it's very real. And yeah, it's amazing. I love it.
And thank God for technology and Zoom and the capabilities for you to scale at this and help so many people, because before you'd be on planes and trains and automobiles wearing the hell out of your body, man. And you'd be tired right now, Raphael, if you didn't have the ability to be able to scale up and do quick FaceTimes or however you're communicating with your customers and in basically almost the same transparency manner, just like me and you. My man is in Norway, guys. I'm in Fresno, California. We're thousands of miles away from each other. It would take multiple airplanes and rides to get to each other. And me and you are having a conversation and feeling somewhat the same way. It's not exactly the same, but it's somewhat the same. And so that's the beauty. Same is in coaching and motivation. And there's so many abilities. And then a lot of us as entrepreneurs, guys, need that coach. So please, please, this is the man that knows if you are in a professional service business. We're going to give you guys some more details, but please take advantage of checking out his business and learning about how this can help you in your businesses, guys. Do you think you'll ever retire from the game of entrepreneurship?
I don't see myself doing it. I could have probably already done it. I've invested a lot of money, been very profitable and put it away. And if I just live on my 20% a year, I'll be comfortable.
Good for you for doing that too, man. I think that's one of the things that a lot of entrepreneurs forget is they forget to put money outside of their business, Raphael.
Yeah, that's risky.
And the thing too is they forget that if you keep all your money in your business, you might not have a good business in 10 years. You don't know. You know, if you're in a Circus de Soleil, didn't think they had a great business, guys, in 2019. Today, Circus de Soleil is a different type of business. And so the point is, if you take some money and you put it in a new place, like invest it in it, like you were talking about, in an ETF or something that's safe, but then money outside your business and other businesses, like maybe you own Shopify or you own other companies that aren't even related to yours, hey, baby, you get a slice of their work and hard efforts, and you don't have to do any work, guys. I mean, it's at scale. You don't got to go pick up 80 hours at Shopify to have returns. If you decide to put in $1 to $10 million, it's all at scale. But whatever that is, you basically have them working for you from that point. So,
and don't forget the cash depreciates constantly. So if you're not putting it anywhere, you're just holding it. What's the point? You're losing money.
Yeah, like Michael Saylor recently with this whole Bitcoin thing is like he's saying 20% is basically the combination of inflation plus the value of what your money can buy. And so you're right. It's like if you're not doing something with it, you got to be getting outside of the business. Because I think what people do, my man Raphael, is they start taking out too many big expenses when they just got a ton of money in the business and you're not kind of putting it other places. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, I need to buy some new leather chairs. Oh, I need to get a new car because things are good. Well, then that shit tightens up, right? And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, God, I don't got anything because you got nice leather chairs and you got fancy wallpaper and you got this and that. But if you had that shit in Tesla in stock or
other listen, I love that. I was going to buy a Tesla cash. I felt so good. I felt like a big boy. I remember when I got enough, I already had the money for it. Right. And then I realized, why don't I just put this in Tesla and then I'll take the profits with Tesla instead.
Boom, baby. Bam. Bam. That's what I'm talking about. I love that idea, dude. I always say anything that you're actually putting a dollar in, you should buy stock in.
Exactly.
It's not even that hard. Mindset. It's like whatever if all you look at your bank statement is Amazon and Google and whatever that is, why aren't you investing in these companies? You can put a dollar into them now. If you're putting money into them, basically with your spending power, you believe in them, right? So do you have a routine to start your day, Raphael?
Yeah, I work out first thing every morning. Nice. Then I meditate right away. Then I have already the day planned ahead and I just launch into it. So that's my routine and it's been really solid for years and I love it.
How long do you usually work out for?
Usually about 20 minutes nowadays, but I've changed it up a lot. I used to have a minimum where I would just burn 30 calories. It's better than doing nothing, right?
Absolutely.
I used to be obese, so.
Yeah, me too, really bro. I got stretch marks like this, dude. I'm 6'8 now, but I was at 6 foot, 300 pounds in high school, and over 20 years have transformed my body, and it's work, dude. I told myself I couldn't do one push-up, guys, and so I would push myself to do one push-up, and then get to 10, and then, the grind continues, And so that's the thing. Like you said, it's just this little amount of work that really can build on each other. And if you are in a situation where you are feeling out of shape and things like that, I think Raphael made a good point. Just burn 30 calories, do the simplest thing you can do to get the ball going and then be consistent. Because that's the thing you've done is that you wake up and do it every day. And that's the key, is consistency on anything you do, guys. Is there a skill you're trying to master right now or get better at?
I'm trying to improve my ability to ski cross country.
Oh, especially. Nice.
Favorite hobby.
That's a good workout too.
Yeah, it is. It is. I love it. I'll do that on top of the routine as well, just to stay really healthy. So that's a big one. And also playing guitar a lot. I've done that since I was young. I've played piano since I was probably about 5 or 6 years old. So I got into music quite early. I still dabble in it.
I love
that's for
you,
fun, man. Though.
Do you produce any music of your own, or just kind of more play?
I used to do a couple of tracks for background music for my videos, but this is probably 5 years ago. Since then, mostly just for fun and relaxing. It's more
good
like
way to meditate, good way to relax, good way to unwind. And very impressive, dude. If you can hop on the piano and play, I think that's one of the most impressive things you can do. Just hop on a piano. Yeah, I'm going to go play that damn thing. What the hell are you going to go play? You're like, oh my God, this person is amazing. Something about that, man. And it's the same with the guitar. If you can pick up a guitar and just be like, boom, 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 boom. It's just like, this person is a legend in the game. Is there an app or a tool that you guys use a lot in your business, or you personally like to use a lot?
I use Google tracking sheets customized with really cool code to track habits. So we use that with all our clients. Yeah, it's like a scoring system. So set all your habits and then rate them based on which ones you think are most important from 1 to 10. And then you get an end score every day. So you're competing against yourself. And then you add and change habits based on what you think needs tweaking. And you have your long-term goals in there. It's really cool. So we have this whole custom tracking sheet based on Google Docs. Pretty cool to set up.
Google Drive, the beautiful Google Drive. Man, what amazing technology we have today, guys. Who would have thought you could do the kind of things you can do today? If you could sit down to a lovely chicken dinner with anyone in the world, who'd you want to sit down with tonight?
Wow, I would probably, Jim Rohn was one of my biggest heroes. Sadly, he passed away. Just loved his style and presentation and the way he spoke. I think that would have been really incredible. But out of people who are alive, maybe Elon.
Yeah. Maybe Tony,
pretty cool. Yeah.
Hey man, what a two great, incredible souls, but obviously Elon is basically our Einstein of today. And Jim Rohn, basically the words of everything that guy says lays true, and it'll probably lay true for 100 years from now. So anything you take in some of these motivational speakers, just like Earl Nightingale, when you hear the words of Earl Nightingale, that shit doesn't ever change. I mean, it's obviously old. You can tell that the recording is old, but the mentality, the mindset and his words, it doesn't change. And so I think that something you can learn from that. Has there been a book that has changed your life, or a book that you either reread or kind of keep at your soul?
I love The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, because, you know, he takes a lot of those Eastern philosophies and westernizes them, for lack of a better word, and it changed my life. It was the first proper self-help book I read. It got me out of my head. It made me just appreciate my life, and I think that kind of really loosened the chains and allowed me to do what I wanted to do with less pressure on myself, less judgment, just more presence. And I think when you're present in what you do, your results skyrocket, because you're actually there. You're not just thinking about what the outcome is or what's going to happen later, or what if this goes wrong, worrying. So much of our thought power is really misplaced, and we don't realize why we're not being effective. It's because we're not engaged with what we're doing. So that really changed the game for me.
Staying in that moment. Staying in the moment. Because guess what, guys? You can't go back 20 seconds. Just remember that. We got 20 seconds older in this show. We've gotten 20 minutes or 30, getting close to 30 minutes older, guys. So the point is, it's very true. Everything you're saying is true, my man. I really appreciate your soul and energy. And I always tell all the guests this, you know, the world's full of abundance, brother. You have an abundant, if you want to call it, aura that you've created for yourself, and it's going to continue to happen. And the things that you want to do and achieve, the cross-country skiing and the ambitions of your life, as well as the success you're going to have for your customers and those you're going to motivate from, maybe even from the show, guys. Maybe it's you that's listening right now. It's incredible, dude. And to be able to have that story to tell, man, from going from the janitor to where you are today, my brother. And I can see that you still have that humble nature about you and personality, as much as it's hard to be as you had success. You know, sometimes the head wants to get a little more inflated. You know, I got a little more clout here, but dude, to continue to have that mentality of humbleness, of reminding yourself of where you come from, and then keep putting in that work, baby, because it ain't easy for us entrepreneurs. My man, where is the best place for people to find and hang out about the business? Learn more about the business today.
Yeah, eraphael.com. Usually we do free consults, but we've been pretty fully booked lately, so it redirects to a Facebook group. If there is an opening, it's there. If not, it'll say, hey, join our community. It's free. You'll get a bunch of exclusive content. It's really, really good.
And we'll put that, guys, in the show notes so you don't have to worry about that. Raphael, my brother, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today, my man. You have a great energy, and I can tell not only do you know what the hell you're doing, but you're going to have continuing success in your life, my brother, and many hills cross-country skied upon, and maybe one day I'll get out there and to check out the Northern Lights. But, brother, you've been hanging out, folks, with Raphael Ellison and Travis Too Tall and Huff. We want to thank you so much for your time today, and let's keep being real.
What another epic episode. And if you enjoyed the episode today, can you please do me a favor and subscribe to our podcast, The Be Real Show, on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform? And also take a little time today, if you don't mind, and give your boy T Huff a review. I would really super appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening today. We're all going through a lot right now. And real-time outsource, my business, is giving back to local and small businesses. Through our social media services and campaigns, we are actually helping small businesses get more exposure during these times and also when we get through these times. At the end of the day, we don't know how long this is all going to last, but most importantly, you got to think about your business right now. Take it seriously. So come check us out at realtimeoutsource.com, realtimeoutsource.com, and we would love for you to qualify and get the process started where we can take a look at your business and see if we can qualify you for some of our services at little to no cost for most of the businesses. And some businesses, you know, you're going to have to pay, but that's part of life, right? But most importantly is that I think this is the time, folks, that you can actually help thrive in your business. And so I would love to help you personally with our team. We're all going through a tough time right now. So take advantage of us. Realtimeoutsource.com. Check us out. And we would love to do some business with you and help you with your social and digital media in 2020 and beyond.